Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Junklist riser stack in Ableton Live 12, but not just any riser. We're making a proper old-school DNB tension engine, noise, tonal lift, reverse break texture, and a compact impact, all controlled by macro knobs so the whole transition feels like one playable instrument. And that's the key idea here. In jungle and drum and bass, transitions move fast. You might only have 4 bars, maybe 8 if you're lucky, to take the listener from one phrase into the next without losing the groove. So instead of throwing a generic rave sweep on top and calling it done, we're going to build something mix-aware, gritty, and functional. Something that opens the room up without smearing the sub, masking the snare, or turning the build into cheesy festival energy. First, think of this rack as a performance surface, not just an FX chain. I'd start by creating a dedicated auto effect rack on a transition group track or a return track, depending on how you like to work. If you want to print the final transition later, a group track is great. If you want to send multiple sources into one bus, a return track works really well. Either way, we're going to build 4 chains inside that rack. One chain for noise, one for tonal lift, one for reverse break texture, one for the impact hit. Keeping those separated matters. In DNB, especially jungle and old-school styles, your transition has to stay clean in the low end and flexible in the top end. If everything is jammed into one sound, you lose control. But if each layer has its own chain, your macros can shape the whole thing in a musical way. Let's start with the noise layer. For this, a simple noise source through Simpler, Operator, or anything similar works fine. The important part is the processing. Put Auto Filter first, then Saturator, then utility at the end. For this style, I like a bandpass filter more than a super obvious high-pass sweep, because bandpass feels a little more old-school, a little less polished, and it sits nicely around break-heavy drums. Start with the filter fairly muted, somewhere around the mid-range, then open it up as the phrase builds. Add a touch of saturation, so the noise doesn't feel thin or sterile. Then use utility to control width, but keep it mostly narrow at the beginning. In jungle, wide noise too early can blur hats, rides, and that important snare crack, so save the width for later. Now map a macro called air to filter frequency, saturation drive, and width. That one macro should give you a smooth arc from dark and contained to bright and open. Think of the safe zone and the performance zone. Most of the travel should live in the first 70%, so you still have some extra lift left for the final phrase hit. That's a good mindset for all of these macros, by the way. Don't make every knob maxed out by default. Give yourself somewhere to go. Next, the tonal layer. This is where we add a little pitch-based movement so the ear feels the rise, even when the drums are busy. Use wave-eatable, operator, or analog, but don't go huge and cinematic. This is not trance. We want something compact, gritty, and slightly rude, like it belongs in a 90s roller or an Amen intro. A saw or triangle source works well. Keep the filter fairly closed at first, then open it slowly. If you want a little movement, add subtle chorus or a small amount of detune, but keep it restrained. The more old-school and jungle-flavored you want this to feel, the less glossy it should be. Map a macro called lift to filter cutoff, wave-eatable position or oscillator tone, a little reverb, and maybe a tiny amount of detune if needed. The trick here is not to make the riser sound huge on its own. The trick is to make it feel like it's lifting the phrase. A tonal layer gives the listener a clear sense of motion without needing a giant wash of effects. That's especially useful in DNB, where the drum programming is already very active and you want the transition to feel intentional, not cluttered. Now for the bit that really makes it jungle. The reverse break texture. Take a short Amen slice, a ghosted break hit, or any little break fragment, and reverse it. You can do this in the clip, or load it into Simpler and reverse it there. Then process it with auto filter, echo or reverb, and maybe drum bus if it needs a little more bite. Keep this layer short. It should not become a second breakbeat. It should feel like suction, like the track is being pulled forward. That little reverse movement is what makes the transition feel like it belongs in jungle rather than in a generic build-up template. Map a macro called pull to the reverse break volume, filter cutoff, echo feedback, and reverb wet amount. This is a really expressive macro because you can make the layer almost subliminal at first, then bring it up right at the end for that haunted, spiraling tension. And if you want a cooler, more rhythmic feel, try letting the reverse layer pulse a little in time with the grid. Even subtle 1/8 or 1/16 movement can make the whole build feel more like a record and less like a preset. Then we add the impact layer. This should be short, punchy, and controlled. Think snare crack, tom hit, metal hit, kick transient, or a layered click if needed. The job here is punctuation, not big cinematic boom. In DNB, the impact has to read on small speakers and still leave room for the first kick and sub of the drop. Put drum bus, saturator, and EQ8 on it. If the sample has too much low end, cut it. If it needs more attack, bring up the transients a little. If you want a tiny tail, use a touch of reverb, but keep it short. Map a macro called hit to the impact volume, transient amount, reverb wet slash dry, and output gain. This layer should feel like the last word before the drop. Not a long echo, not a big tail, just a sharp punctuation mark that clears the way for the first downbeat. Now we bring the whole thing under one macro system. At the top rack level, create at least 5 useful macros. I'd go with air, lift, pull, hit, grain, and space. Grain can control things like saturator drive, dynamic tube, or even a small amount of redux if you want a bit of digital edge. Bass can handle reverb and echo across the stack. This is where the lesson really gets powerful, because you're no longer automating a bunch of isolated device settings. You're performing the transition. One knob can slowly open the noise, another can bring in the tonal lift, another can add reverse break tension only at the very end. That makes the transition feel human and phrase aware. And here's a very important advanced tip. Give your macros different musical rates. That means one macro might creep over the full 8 bars, while another does almost nothing until the final bar. That contrast is what makes the stack feel alive. A live build sound fake because every parameter moves at the same speed. Real tension is more layered than that. Some things should start early. Some should wait. Some should only appear in the last moment. I also like to give the transition some rhythmic silhouette. Instead of only a smooth sweep, try a little motion that locks to the break grid. A subtle pulse, a gated swell, or a tiny rhythmic flutter can make the build feel much more like jungle. That sense of movement is huge in old-school DNB, because it keeps the transition tied to the drums, not floating above them. Now let's shape the arrangement. A really strong jungle phrase might be 4 bars of tension, then 4 bars of expansion, with the strongest lift in the last bar, and then a hard drop on bar 9. So maybe in bars 1 through 4, the stack is barely visible, just some noise. Maybe a little tonal murmur. In bars 5 and 6, the reverse break starts to show itself and the tonal layer opens more. In bar 7, saturation comes up and the width expands. In bar 8, the impact layer gets ready and the top end peaks. Then on bar 9, you cut the transition cleanly and let the drop hit. That cut is important. A lot of people let the riser drag right into the kick. But in jungle and DNB, sometimes it sounds stronger if the transition stops a fraction early. That makes the drop feel more deliberate, more confident, and more DJ-friendly. The first drum hit lands in clean air, and that feels huge. When it comes to mixing, always check the stack against the full track, not just in solo. Solo can help with sound design, but the real question is, does it stay out of the way of the drums and bass? High-pass the stack aggressively enough that no low end is leaking through. Usually somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz minimum is a good starting point, depending on the layers. If the top gets harsh, tame a little around the upper mids. If the fizz fights the cymbals, roll off the extreme top a bit. And don't forget mono compatibility. Check utility in mono. If the transition disappears when some down, you're relying too much on width. Keep the low mid energy centered and let only the airiest material spread out. That keeps the build solid on club systems and avoids phase weirdness. A small trick that works well is to duck the drum bus just a hair during the final half of the build. Maybe half a dB to 1.5 dB. Just enough to create contrast, not enough to damage the groove, but use that carefully. The point is to make the riser feel bigger by comparison, not to weaken the drums. If the transition feels too polished, add some micro imperfections. Tiny pitch drift, slightly different attack times across layers. A small sample start variation, maybe a little track delay on one layer by a few milliseconds. Those little offsets create movement and thickness without just making everything louder. Jungle energy often comes from controlled instability, and that's exactly the vibe we want. If you want a darker, heavier DNB flavor, lean into grit over shine. Darken the first half, brighten only at the end. Add subtle bit reduction with redux if needed. Use more saturation before you reach for more volume. Sometimes a little extra drive makes the transition feel nastier and closer without eating headroom. And if the track already has a busy bass line, keep the riser simpler. Let the arrangement breathe. Here's a really useful exercise for this kind of rack. Build a 2-bar version first. Don't start with a huge 8-bar epic. Make a short stack with noise, tonal lift, reverse break, and impact. Map 5 macros, air, lift, pull, hit, and grain. Then automate them so air increases steadily. Lift opens slowly and only really blooms at the end. Pull comes in during the last bar. Grain gets a little dirtier near the finish. And hit lands on the final beat. Then play that against a 170 BPM drum loop with sub. Check it in mono. Make sure nothing below about 120 Hz is left in the stack. Export it or resample it, and listen on headphones and small speakers. If it still feels like a real jungle transition at low volume, you're on the right path. The big takeaway here is simple.